We're just going to go right into worship. Lord, we just lift up your name this morning, Father. We just worship your holy name, Lord. It's to you this morning that we lift up our praise, Lord God. We declare that our hope is in you, Lord God. You've seen the end from the beginning, Father. We have the hope for a secure future, Lord, because our trust is in you, Lord. So as we sing these lyrics, as we sing these words, God, I pray, Lord, that they would emanate from our hearts, from the depths of our soul, because we believe, we trust, Lord God. They're not just empty quotes and phrases, God, but they are from our heart, Lord. From the depths of our soul, God, we worship you this morning. You are our one true audience, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you would receive our praise, Lord God. You are so worthy, so deserving of praise, Lord. So receive our worship. Lord, in turn, we ask for your Holy Spirit, for your anointing to be here, Lord. As we carve out this time to be here this morning, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would manifest himself here this morning, God. Let's worship together.
Grow weary.
strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait, we will wait. We wait on you, Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait, we will wait. One more time, strength arise. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait, we will wait. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait. We will wait, our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not fail. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wing like eagle. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not faint. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Worthy are you, God. Praise your holy name this morning. Lord, we worship you. Receive our praise this morning.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. And you are good.
The years that you've walked with the Lord. Some of you, it's just a few. Some of you are getting to know Jesus in your life, and some of us have walked with the Lord for decades. So that last song, I was thinking, you're the everlasting God. I mean, everlasting from eternity to eternity, but also just in my life, everlasting through all the years and the seasons of my life. And he's never going to let us down. He never has. Might feel like it at moments, but he really, when you look back and you're honest and you look at the goodness of God, he's been a faithful God.
And you're never gonna let You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, no, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good,
you're never gonna let, you're never. Well, welcome to our second consecutive Sunday out back in the parking lot. You know, I've been writing those letters every week, and I'm going to continue to do that. But one of the things I've been saying over and over again is you were made for such a time as this. You could have been born any time in history, and God, for whatever reasons, this is your time. This is our time to serve God in our generation. And God is at work. He's at work both in you individually. He's at work in our church. He's at work in our community. He's at work in your business. He's at work in this country. He's at work in this this world. And he's at work in every ethnicity, every male, female, young and old, because the earth is whose? Whose? Okay, good. I didn't hear. I thought I heard the Lord. The earth is the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all who dwell therein. So what we're trying to do as we bridge between now and whenever we'll be inside and those kinds of things is to gather. We're trying to keep the service to an hour and also being responsible in social distancing, and you know, so you, whatever you're comfortable with is what we want you to feel free. If you want to separate farther, like the Haltons over there, I don't think they like us. Either that or they're the smartest people here, who knows? But I like it. I like, just, you know, there's no shoulda, but we want to be wise about it, okay? What else? Oh, we have a basket on the table over there. Some people still would like to give their offering here, so it'll be, Dave's got it over there if you wanted to drop something in. I might, while I'm saying it, I am just so grateful. I speak for myself, the elders, the church in general, that your faithfulness through this last 7 months has made, I mean, it's just been amazing, and it just says a lot about the Lord and your faithfulness. So last week, the battle cry was what? Faithful and what? Flexible. Is anybody having any trouble with flexibility these days? Have there been any comments to your wife. Because your wives have been perfect, I know that. But if I'm speaking for myself, I don't like myself sometimes. Who is this man? And then I just, you know, Lord help me, and he does. But we're still in a process. And I was thinking about what my mother said right now. You can get a sunburn on a cloudy day. Just standing out here. But I won't be out long. I wanted to say, from the letter last week, it was out of Acts 14. It says, "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus." That's an amazing thing, that they could actually observe the boldness in these people. They saw them, and they shouldn't have been bold at all, especially since they were in the temple with the educated Pharisees and Sadducee and probably people of influence. And it says they, because they said they were uneducated and untrained. But were they? The disciples spent 3.5 years under the tutelage of the Son of God. The disciples encountered terrifying storms. They overcame demonic strongholds. They heard Jesus teach daily. They were part of healings and miracles. And Jesus is the embodiment of this. This is why Jesus came. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted." We have good news to afflicted people if we will speak, if we will be with Jesus in order to be empowered through the Holy Spirit where He brings us. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." There's many broken hearts. "And to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners," people imprisoned by their own choices or the consequences of their own choices or the sins of others. And he says, "to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." The disciples listened, they inquired, and they learned to serve. These men were extraordinarily tested and extraordinarily trained. And the Jewish leaders marveled at them because in their view, they didn't get it. They couldn't understand how they could have this confidence. What a recognition that is. The best compliment I've ever had as a pastor. I've had 2 compliments. So this is the second one. Was a woman came to our church. She wasn't here this long. And she came up to me and she said, "You know God." She said, "You know God." And I said, "Oh, well, thank you." "No, don't do that. Don't slough that off like thank you for the nice word." She said, "No, I'm telling you, I've been a lot of places. You know Him. You know God." Is there a better compliment? People can recognize you as having been with Jesus. Without Jesus, I'm in a denomination or a movement or a project or a Christian ministry or doing things outside. But with Jesus, everything comes alive. Do I get an amen? Amen. Kids, amen. Just the kids. Kids, now come on, really loud. Amen. Okay, that's better, better. Mike Spinello gets you to yell at, you know, I like it. So the disciples had been with Jesus before His crucifixion, those 3.5 years, and then they were with Him after. To understand why they had this confidence. And like I said, if I was looking for leaders, I would probably go to Athens. I would probably go to Jerusalem. Or I would go someplace. Hi. This may be a leader. You have to put it in context. In context, it says in Acts 1 that he presented himself alive with many convincing proofs, appearing to them for a period of 40 days. He spoke to them concerning the kingdom of God. He gathered them together at his ascension, and he told them to go back to Jerusalem. And they went, and he told them that they were to be his witnesses. The Greek word is martyr. I love it when, I say this all the time, but please don't get your feelings hurt if I say this, because I'm not, I've probably said it too, but I really want to find my passion. I really want my passion. But he said, he doesn't say, you shall be my passionate people. He says, you shall be my martyrs. That's what witness means. So I'd like us to be able to say, I'd really like to find my martyrdom. I would really like to find my martyrdom. Where are you going to slay me? Where are you going to have me pick up my cross beyond myself and deny myself? Where am I going to lose my life in order to find it? Where am I going to provoke others to love and good works? Where am I going to have my feelings hurt and forgive? Where am I going to extend grace to someone that doesn't deserve it, like myself? So he tells them they're going to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the remotest parts of the world. There was no North America. There was no South America to them. And they only knew probably Asia Minor. And yet here we are, 2,000 years later, in a back parking lot in Mission Viejo, California, praising God who did all this. That's an amen. Amen. The second thing that happened was Pentecost. They were in one place and they were in one accord praying, and the Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit is, he is not a little bird. He is not a little bird that if you go, shoop, you spook him. Oh, you scared the Holy Spirit away. Right. The Holy Spirit is God Almighty. Say that with me. The Holy Spirit is God Almighty. Jesus said he wouldn't leave them as orphans, and he said, wait, go back into Jerusalem for the promise from the Father. And they were in one place, and suddenly a mighty rushing wind came into the building. The difference between a rushing wind and a mighty rushing wind is mighty. It was loud. I mean, I can't make the noise loud enough that they were there, and all of a sudden, cloven tongues of fire came down. Not on just the prophets, not on just the pastor, not on just the elders, not on just the men, but on men, women, and everyone gathered, all 120, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And those tongues were understood by the people that were up for the festival, and they were from all these different nations, and they couldn't figure it out. And the first thing they said, they're drunk. And Peter takes his stand and said, no, they're not. And then he talks about Joel, that in the last day, young men will prophesy, old men will dream dreams. And it begins, Peter gives this amazing sermon. Peter, the one that 50 days earlier had been cussing and cursing and saying, I don't know him. Leave me alone. I don't know him. 50 days later, he's up there, men and brethren, and the most amazing sermon. So this happens. After he speaks, 3,000 souls came to Christ that day. And I'm sure that a lot of the soil had been prepared through the time that Jesus was alive, but they said, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now we go to Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And they walk along and they see this beggar right here. And the beggars, people used to carry this person and leave him there right by the entrance. And he would beg for alms. And he'd been doing this a long time. He was 40 years old. And Peter looks at him and said, he says, look at us, Peter and John. So they're there. He said, look at me. And the guy's looking up, hopefully to get, he's looking for a denarius or something. Sure, I'll look. And it says, Peter fastened his eyes on him and said, silver and gold I have none, but what I do have, I give unto you. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. And he reaches out his hands, and his ankles and his feet were strengthened, and he raised him up like that. Well, this was no small miracle in the temple. And everything, all heaven breaks out. And Peter gives his second sermon. And in this sermon, he explains again what happened with Jesus. And it was an amazing proclamation. And it says, by then they're growing to almost 5,000. When you get to chapter 4, because of this, they were arrested. And now, I'll pick it up in chapter 4, just to give you a backdrop. And they were speaking to the people. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching people and proclaiming in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day. But many who had heard the message believed. And so this is interesting because when Jesus was arrested, who did he come before? Who was his first trial? Any Bible scholars? Come on, who's his first one he goes to? A high priest. Annas and Caiaphas. And then Caiaphas questions Jesus about who he is and all this stuff. And are you the Son of God? And Jesus lets him know that he is. And Caiaphas rips his clothes because of the blasphemy. Well, Caiaphas is still alive. And now Peter, who was in the portico that night, who John was in the inner, and he brought Peter, and Peter was out there warming himself, and Peter had denied himself Jesus three times as Jesus was standing before Caiaphas. But now Caiaphas and Annas are saying, who are these men? Where did they get this ability to talk like this? Where did they get this boldness since they're uneducated and untrained? And it turns out that it's Caiaphas speaking again, and it's Peter, the one who said he began to curse and swear repeatedly in his denial of Christ 50 days, and now he is saying, men and brethren. And it's an amazing transformation of what the Holy Spirit did in his life. God is out to do a big transformation in your life, in my life. How many of you know you can retire in God? Is there any retirement program in God? I mean, he may change your work patterns. He may change certain things. But we're at this our whole life. When I think about outward appearance, it's important for us to remember this. I'm going to have you say it after me. God looks at the heart. People sometimes in counseling are saying, do you think you know my heart? And I said, I don't know. I don't claim to know your heart. I know your actions. My comments are based on some pretty wild actions. But your heart, God knows the heart. And as far as credentials, education, money, power, there's a few. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He was a Pharisee. And Jesus says, you're a teacher of the law and you don't understand this? And then he was buried in a rich man's grave, Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a Pharisee. And the Apostle Paul was trilingual, a brilliant man. So there are people that God calls that have incredible gifting. So I'm not, there's no call as a Christian, a call to ignorance. If we're Christians, we're always in school. We're always learning. We're always growing. We dust off scriptures that we've seen for many times, and all of a sudden it has new life to it. The Holy Spirit breathes upon it, and it changes our behavior. So as I look at this, first of all, I'm really glad I'm not in charge of the gospel. Are you? How would you do it? How would you change the world with the gospel? How would anybody do it? Everybody's got theories and different things, but the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. And in Acts chapter 4:20, it says they would not stop talking about what they had seen and heard. That's why they were so upset with him. They couldn't stop talking about it. The same people that had skulked away into the night and been afraid for their lives, just, 7 weeks earlier? Now they said, I can't stop talking. You can't shut me up about what I've seen and heard. I don't think any of them at that point were worried about what the other people thought of them. I don't even think they were worried about whether they're coming on too strong. They were just saying the truth. I did a wedding once and I shared, marriage. My brother was there and he said, I offended a lot of people. That's an encouraging brother, right? He said, you did a good job, but you offended a lot of people. I said, oh, great, thanks. I said, what? What did I say? And he said, you said the truth. The truth offends. It really does. It can offend me and it can offend you. And I just said the truth, and I wasn't being hardcore. I was just talking about marriage and God's design. So here we are. Remember this out of Corinthians. For consider your calling, brethren. There are not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. When David was set in, Samuel was sure that Eliab was going to be the next king. He looked at Eliab, and Eliab was built, he was older, he was more mature. And he says, no, Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance. In fact, all men look at the outward appearance. We look at how they're built, what their face, their clothes, their career. We measure all that stuff, but he says, but not God. God is looking at your heart. My heart, kids' heart. And that's why it's so important as parents that you're shaping their heart, helping to shape their heart towards God. Is there any kid here that ever got mad at one of their mom or dad? Could I see your hands, please? Why did that happen? The kids love you. Your parents love you. How can that happen when they're trying to do the best thing for you? Is there anybody here that ever got mad at their pastor? Has there any pastor here that ever got mad at the body? Is there any spouse that stood up there and said, I love you so much, I do, I do, I do, and then had a big fight later, big ones? Why are you here? Because God gives us the ability to maneuver through the highs and lows of life. And he's giving you and I an opportunity to share our faith where it is. I'm just saying it's not about creating a program of you need to do this and you need to do that. But you have a tremendous opportunity of influence. And sometimes people will even say, I don't know where you get that. But that's really amazing. I mean, I've heard it about you. You've met somebody and they say, where did you, why are you that way? And you're not being religious, and you're not being holier than thou. You're just walking with God. So today we're going to have communion. And if I could get Dave and... look at Dave. Dave's lost 10 pounds since he volunteered to do this. And Pat, I think I'd like to get you back up here, if you would. As we come to the table, the last part of this, the first part is the observing, the boldness. The second part was to understand that boldness came from a life with Jesus and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. The third part came from when they actually moved out in it and this person was healed. It caused a huge disturbance and it broke the... Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. It caused a big deal. It would be this... the equivalent of me going to City Hall, and it was a big deal. And by the fourth chapter, they're just sitting there trying to figure out who these men are. And actually, it was the same two leaders that were there the night Jesus was betrayed. And now they see the effect of Jesus risen from the dead, and by many convincing proofs. So as we go to the table, the Proverbs tells us to watch over our heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Our hearts can be very fickle, and it's easy to get an embittered heart if things don't go the way you would hope they'd go. But watch over it. Ask the Lord to help you. It's not an abstract concept, but it's practical in daily life. And let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we don't grow weary. We can lose heart in the absence of results, but let's not lose heart. A joyful heart is good medicine. Let's stand.
You are the Word at the beginning. One with God, the Lord Most High. You were hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. And what a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name.
What a powerful name. And Archer is going to lead us in a benediction.
Okay, please bow. Lord, I thank you so, so much for this amazing day that you've created. And I pray that you can just help us all throughout this week keep our eyes fixed, help us fix our eyes on you, and that we can just all have an amazing week and just everything would be fine with school and work and just there'd be no stress or worrying throughout everything that's happening. And that we can just all just have a great week this week, Lord. And in your name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. We're dismissed. Thank you.